All right, fantastic. So here we are, worldwide live through BBS Radio. Thank you, BBS. This is Monday evening, and we have special guests tonight. This is going to be a very interesting call. I hear another person join in. Every time you hear a ding, that's somebody new joining in on the simulcast conference call. So I welcome that person. Please state your name and location.
Hi, it's Francis from Concord, California.
Hello, Francis. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Good evening.
All right.
It's
thank you for being here.
Look up shingles.
Is that Fred?
Yes.
That's what I'm getting.
Okay, then look up shingles and it will refer.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Shingles are from chicken pox, not measles.
Right. Yep. They are.
And she would have more of them, not just one. And they
sometimes come out just one at a time, yeah. Especially when you're nervous and uptight, it makes it worse.
Look it up anyway, if it fits you.
Fred, I'm sorry. It was hard to hear you.
That's okay. I said just look it up and see if it fits you.
All right, okay.
It is from chicken pox and not measles.
I'll send you an email, too. It'll cover the whole subject.
But, if you look up shingles...
Do you have my email address?
Yes, I bought it the other day, and I'm selling it to everybody.
I give it away for free, honey. It's willowmorningsky@yahoo.com. Now you can't make any money off of it.
Oh, Willow, damn.
Hey, Willow,
this is podcasted. Wow. Yeah, we're worldwide live right now, Willow.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm going on mute. Bye.
All right. I welcome all those people who are joining in through BBS Radio. Thank you so much for being here.
Hi. This is Terry.
Hi, Terry.
I wanted to say, Terry, you can call me Terry B, and you can call Terry Friedman, Dr. Terry.
All right. Sounds fantastic. Thank you, Terry B.
Who you're talking to.
We have somebody else join in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Morgan in California.
Hello, Morgan. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Good evening.
Hi, good evening.
I love you all.
It's Chris from
Hey,
Louisville.
Morgan.
Hey.
Hello, Chris.
How are you? Hi.
Doing well. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Hi, Morgan.
Somebody else joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Morning, hi. It's Todd in Chicago.
Hello. It's evening over here, Joel. Thank you, Todd. Thank you for being here.
Thanks.
More people joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Ron Oliver calling from Santa Clara, California.
Hello. Welcome to the call.
Hello.
Thank you for being here. Welcome to the call, and please say your name and location.
Hi, everybody. Robert and Ronnie from Southern California.
Hello, Robert and who?
Ronnie.
And Ronnie. Robert and Ronnie, welcome to the call.
Thank you. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
All right.
Hi.
Hey, Robert.
And Ronnie.
Hello.
And Ronnie.
Hi, Marilyn.
Hi.
Hi, Marilyn. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Meow.
Meow.
Yeah. Hello, this is Shirley from Alaska.
Hi, Shirley. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Hey, Shirley, you got any ice cubes?
Oh, yeah. There's just a few on the ground yet. Not too many, though. But we're just drying up our streams. We don't have water like what we did have.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, yeah. I'll do a rain dance, and we'll get some up there for you.
Oh, we'd love to have some.
Welcome to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi, my name's Brenda.
Good evening, Brenda. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Hi, Brenda. You have a nice voice, Brenda.
Oh, thank you. I live in Pennsylvania.
Hey, we're in Pennsylvania.
I'm in a college town. It's called Bloomsburg.
Oh, yeah, I live in Bluebell near Philadelphia.
Oh, yes, okay.
Hi. I'm in Pittsburgh.
Bluebell, you know, is the home of all fairies.
I know you said that on my very first call.
Well, I've been trying to talk to you once again, but it just never seems to line up. And here we are on BBS Worldwide.
Here we are.
And here's the lady from Fairyland. Wow.
This is Dr. Terry from Phoenix, Arizona.
Hello, Dr. Terry. So much. It's so great that you're here. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right.
Thank you, Dr. Friedman.
You're welcome.
I read your book. It's fantastic.
Which one? I have
Man Who Walked with Jesus.
No, that's a good one. That's one of my better ones. But I have
four. All right. I didn't know you had more books. All right.
Yeah, I got four, like I say, four books.
Four books. All right. All right. We had more people join in. I welcome those people. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Sure. Hi, this is Tammy in Playa del Rey, California.
Good evening, Tammy. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. All right.
I'm glad to see you're feeling better, Doctor.
Thank you.
Yes.
That's so nice of you to come in to help us out.
Yep.
Well, Wynn asked me to, and here I am.
Dr. Terry, this is Willow Morning Sky. Did Wynn share with you the information I sent him about the curative properties of Urtica dioica on MS?
Yeah, I think he did.
Okay, excellent. I just wanted to make sure that you had gotten that.
Yeah, I just received it. I'm going to look at it. Probably tonight or tomorrow.
And welcome to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
This is Ruth in Minnesota.
Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Oh, hi, I'm Debbie. I'm calling from Ajax, Ontario, Canada.
Hello, Debbie. It's Debbie, right?
Yes.
Hi, Debbie. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. Now, Dr. Terry, is it possible for you to bring your phone closer to your mouth?
I will try.
I appreciate it. Thank you. And welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Celeste from in Sedona.
Hi, welcome to the call.
Nice. Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for doing this.
All right. Good evening and welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Wanda from Leventhal, Saskatchewan.
Yeah, hi, Wanda. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Good evening.
All right. It is almost 6 o'clock. I welcome all those people that are tuning in through BBS Radio. Thank you so much for being here energetically.
Energetically.
And somebody else joined in. I welcome you. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Diane in Minnesota.
Hi, Diane. Good evening and welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Percy, North Carolina.
Hi, Percy. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Thank you, Hives.
All right.
Rick, Iowa City.
Hey, Rick. Welcome.
Hi.
All right. All right. All right, it's 6 o'clock. I am going to turn off the entry and exit sign. All right, so we have a bunch of people here present on the conference call. Thank you very much for being here. I know that Dr. Friedman, Dr. Terry, is here with us, which is just so fantastic. And also Terry Brown, or Terry B, is here with us. And I wonder if the free man, Wynn Free, has joined in yet. Wynn, are you present?
He's trying to get hold of Carla.
Okay. All right. So Carla's also going to join in. And then I read about another person, Alan Steinfeld. Will he make it tonight, do you think, Terry Brown?
Pardon?
Do you know if Alan Steinfeld will be here tonight?
It was my understanding he was going to be.
All right. Jared Howes, that is fantastic. And I know more people are tuning in on the conference call. Thank you so much for being here.
Anna from Kent.
Hi, Anna. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Go, Hawks, go.
Oh, go ahead.
Carla from Calgary.
Hi, Carla. Welcome to the call.
Hello. I also have Terry and Rachel, and we're in Calgary.
Fantastic. Welcome, Terry and Rachel.
Hello. Julianne from San Diego.
Hello, Julianne. Sarah. Welcome to the call.
Hi.
I'll mute myself, though.
All right.
Okay.
I will shortly mute all the lines.
Okay.
Thank you, Willow, for the information.
All right. Wynn, are you present?
I'm here.
All right.
I'm going to mute everybody. Let's see. Mute. Now, let's see. Carla, are you there?
I am there.
Terry Friedman, are you here?
Yes, I am.
Terry is pretty soft.
Speak louder. Yes, I am, Wynn. I'm here.
Okay, we hear you now. Okay.
Good.
And Terry Brown, are you here?
I'm here.
Okay. Are you in with Terry Friedman?
Yes.
Okay. Why don't you switch phones with him since he's the star? And let's see if he sounds louder on your phone, okay? And you use his phone, okay?
Okay.
If you don't mind.
Can you hear me better now?
Oh, yeah, much louder, okay? So, Terry, can you speak on Terry Friedman's phone?
Yes. Can you hear me now?
We hear you, yeah. Okay, we hear you and we hear Terry, so that's good. Okay. So we worked that out. All right. So everyone's muted. We're going to start the call. I don't think Alan Steinfeld is here. Is he here?
Correct, not yet.
Alan? Okay, so we'll keep our eyes for him. And
why do we introduce that? Why do we just sit down?
What's that, Terry?
What do we
I think he was
Terry,
changing his position.
Okay, Adele is here to help him out. This is his caretaker. And we're going to start the recording.
This conference is being recorded.
This is Wayne Free. It's April 21st, 2014. And we are in Phoenix. Terry Brown and I are in Phoenix. We are at the home of Terry Friedman. And we did the special call tonight. We had Terry on a couple of months ago. And we talked to Terry about, just to give you a little background about Terry Friedman, Dr. Terry Friedman. He has been an alternative medical doctor for most of his life. And he has helped a lot of people, cured a lot of people. He's been fairly well known. He's hobnobbed with a lot of famous people. And at some point, he had this realization, this idea that he had a past life as Matthew, who was probably the most prominent disciple of Jesus, who was the most popular scribe, who was Terry, I think you're making noise, Terry Brown. No? Maybe so. Okay, keep it down or I'll mute you. Matthew did the Gospel of Matthew. And Terry Friedman wrote a book about it called The Man Who Walked with Jesus. And he had a very hard time talking about it because of his prominence as an alternative doctor and many of the people that he ran with. Although, if you look at the back of his book, Larry Dossey, MD, some of you may know, gave an endorsement on the book. Gladys Taylor McGarry, who those of you who are into Edgar Casey might have remember, her husband, Dr. McGarry, was a doctor in Phoenix that used all the Edgar Casey remedies, probably the most prominent MD to use Edgar Casey remedies. And then Reverend Lloyd Bennett, Associate Minister, Mile High Church. Now, when Terry wrote The Man Who Walked with Jesus, he never said that he thought he was that man. It was kind of a mystery of like, well, who is he writing about? And I don't blame him because it's very controversial to say that. And people, when you happen to have been perhaps somebody famous and you talk about it, people, usually many people, will misrepresent it and think that you're just saying that to get attention. But I read Terry's book, and there was a lot of resonance that says, well, you know what? This could be true. And then I invited Carla. Well, let me just see. Terry, would you like to say anything before I turn talk about Carla?
Which one?
Dr. Terry. I'll say Dr. Terry.
Yeah. Well, I'm pleased to be here, and I'm pleased to meet Carla and share I'm probably agreeable to share what little knowledge I have.
Mm-hmm. And Carla Rucker, who, of course, most of you know, we've talked to her many, many times on the show, and she's also our support system and holds space for our Sunday call, was the channeler of the Ra material. And the Ra material, Ra was a group soul of hundreds of millions of individual souls that has acted as a helper and a guide for this planet for perhaps tens of thousands of years. And, of course, it's my contention that the Ra group was very involved with the manifestation of Jesus. This is not something that Carla has said or that Dr. Terry Friedman has said or Jerry Brown has said. And, of course, we have the contention that perhaps Terry Brown had an incarnation as a Catholic woman who perhaps the Ra group was speaking through and ended up talking in a local church in Siena, Italy, and it became accepted by the church and still published on Amazon. Most of you know that. St. Catherine's Dialogues with God. Now, everything in the past is in the past. And this is not to exalt anyone. Exalting people does not do anything for one's evolution or their evolution. The purpose of this is to have a dialogue, to talk to Terry, to give Carla and Dr. Terry a chance to meet each other, learn about each other's work, and nobody has to agree on anything. No one has to agree that Terry was Matthew or that Terry Brown was St. Catherine or that Carla, we don't know who you were, but we do that. Even if there's such a thing as a rock group, okay? Although we think there is, you know, we're learning from the content of what we express, not from elevating anything. So we'll take this call in that kind of context. And Carla, would you like to say a couple words of introduction to Dr. Terry so he feels you?
Well, hello, Dr. Terry. I'm so pleased to meet you.
Hello.
Hi. I really think that we'd get to know each other better just by hanging out and talking and feeling each other's energy and vibrations. It's a much more, yeah, it's a much more sure way of getting to know someone, and I'm very comfortable with letting things develop as they will. I think that I will enjoy knowing you a little bit better. And I am honored to be in your presence, sir.
Thank you.
And
I'm honored to be in your presence. I've heard a lot about you through Gwen, and I'm honored to be in your presence as well.
And I'm honored to be in all of your presence. So... Jerry Brown, would you like to say something? Get your energy in the mix.
I am so pleased to have everybody on the line together and all of the listeners. It's a good mix of energy.
It does feel good, doesn't
now, it? So, you know, I have Terry, Dr. Terry's book, The Man Who Walked with Jesus, in my hand. It's called Tales from the Sixth Disciple. And Terry, when you were writing this book, were you having actual memories? I understand you had a voice that you believe was Jesus that was connecting with you while you were writing it. Was it Jesus talking to you, or were you downloading memories, or both?
Yes, and the more I spoke to him, or listened to him, the more my memories came back. In general, he addressed me at night and downloaded information. As I woke up in the morning, I began to write the information down until I finally had a full book. But the more I heard his voice or recognized his input during my sleep time, the more I remembered of that lifetime. So at first I didn't remember much of anything, but eventually I began to know lots and lots with his decision.
Mm-hmm. I thought maybe I would read just a couple paragraphs here from the book, just so you all could feel the frequency of the way this is expressed. We must not fight our government. This is Jeshua. He didn't call himself Jesus. He called himself Jeshua. And he didn't call Matthew. He called him Matthai, at least in this book. And, you know, one of the interesting things that came up when I was talking to Terry that connected with the raw material is I talked to Terry about Judas. This was in our last call. And Judas said that, Terry said that Judas did not really do what he did to betray Jesus. He did it because he wanted Jesus to do a public miracle while he was on the cross and have him recognized by the church, the Romans, and that he would be declared officially a Messiah. And interestingly enough, one of the things in the raw material, Carla, why don't you share what was in the raw material about that?
Well, I'm trying to think of what you're referring to.
Well, we're in the raw material. Maybe I'll just say it. I don't catch you.
Sorry, because I'm
in the raw material. It was indicated that Judas did not intend to betray Jesus. He didn't do what he did to betray Jesus, right? But to make Jesus famous, so to speak, by doing a public miracle. Do I have that correct?
I had thought maybe that is in the raw material. And what isn't in the raw material, but what is in other books that I've read, is that it's possible that he might have had feelings to make him an earthly king and shake off Roman rule.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You're pretty right there, Carla.
Okay.
You're correct. Specifically, he said that Judas wanted me to open the door and all the bars and the walkout to be free. But I wouldn't do it. That was not my plan. So Judas misinterpreted Yeshua's plan.
Excuse me a second. Terry Brown, are you in the same room as Terry Friedman, Dr. Terry?
Yes, I am.
We're getting echo, so you better move into another room for the moment, okay?
And I want to announce, Wynn, that Mr. Alan Steinfeld has arrived, I believe.
Hello, Wynn.
Alan, are you?
Yes, I'm
Alan,
here.
Alan, are you here?
Yes, I'm here. Do you hear me?
We hear you. Okay.
Okay.
So
Alan, a while. Thank you.
Okay. Alan is the person who he has New Realities TV show or YouTube channel.
And TV and radio and YouTube, yes.
Yeah. And tens of thousands of people in the New York area pay attention to Alan, and he has brought many people to the attention of the East Coast and probably other places too, public. And he knows, he's in Phoenix right now, and he knows Terry. He met Terry. He's friend, Terry's caretaker, Adele, who's probably also listening, was working
Hi,
with
Adele.
Alan. And Alan knew about Carla Rucker, and when I mentioned to him that we were always doing things together, I said, be on the show tonight, because this is a good way to meet Carla and Dr. Terry and bring them, if you want to, to the attention of the people that are paying attention to you. So, Carla, I want you to meet Alan Steinfeld.
Hi, Carla. Hi, nice to meet you. I like your work. Thank you for the raw material.
It was my pleasure.
Maybe we'll have our own conversation sometime, okay?
Yeah.
Well,
that would be
okay. I'd be happy to share each other's phone numbers with each other. So
thank you, Wynn.
I'm
on
further.
For a little while, Wynn. I'm on for a little while. I'm going to have to do an interview, but let's talk. What were you talking about with Dr. Terry Friedman?
Well, we were just talking. See, I have this contention, this idea that there was a connection between the raw group and Jesus, and that maybe it was a big connection. Maybe Jesus, something that Carla has come up with, and certainly not something that Terry has come up with. And there were a couple of things. There were a couple of things that triggered that with me. One of them was, and this is what we just talked about, Judas, and that Dr. Terry said Judas really didn't intend to betray Jesus. He wanted Jesus to be made head of state by doing a miracle in front of everybody, and that the raw material talked about Jesus and said something similar. And there were a couple other things. So, you know, we're not going to draw that conclusion, and I'm not going to even present all the points in case, but I think there's a similar energy and that everyone else can listen as we talk and draw their own conclusions. And, of course, Matthew was the most literate of all the disciples, and his work, his one most quoted. Most of the great quotes from Jesus were in Matthew. And, of course, Dr. Terry is very literate. He's a great writer. And I thought maybe I would read a little bit here, just a paragraph or two, from his book, The Man Who Walked with Jesus. And this is Jesus and Yeshua. We must not fight our government with anger, but must instead be reserved in our opinions. We must give appropriately when we are able, and we must trust that we are always given everything we need from the Father. When we have truly internalized this truth, then we can easily forgive our government. The rulers must be forgiven, for they know not what they do. He went on, I have also touched the face of anger. Remember, this is Yeshua talking. One of my greatest challenges has been with the priests. Just as I challenged them in the temple on that occasion when I was 12, so now they defy me. As I become well known, they are threatened and they denounce me. Mattai, you and many people, Mattai was Matthew, and this is Yeshua, Jesus talking to him. Mattai, you and many other people saw me get angry at what the money changers were doing. Interestingly, because they are taught and have come to see God as a vengeful God, the people weren't much disturbed by my outburst because they thought I had a perfect right to express myself in this way. But it was not that, as you know. Instead, it was my ego's understanding of human degradation and my impatience with that human condition. Impatience is often acted out in anger. I have not acted out of my ego-centered impatience too frequently, but occasionally I have. And when this is so, I have prayed on it and blessed it, and in that it is aligned. He then spoke of another type of impatience. This is the divine impatience that does not act out in rage, but instead acts out with a moment turn, a momentum to accomplish. In other words, in the divine understanding, if one were not impatient, one would never move. What would be the reason to move on something or make a new choice? Divine impatience, then, is that which says, I will move forward. I will make a new choice. I will make a new life. I will make a new universe. This is not an energy born of boredom or anger, never. It can be perceived as an energy of opportunity, of growth. Yeshua continued, when I was demonstrating my anger at the money changers, the anger was coming in part from my ego, but it was also in part driven divinely, because I was aware that by using my anger through the divine spirit, I could teach a valuable lesson. I pray that the lesson was not about teaching people that they had a right to deliberately go about showing anger to everyone in their path, but they have a right to feel anger. Then they have the opportunity to forgive the emotion. He added, in my humanity, I had the right to be free of all the emotions, and I chose in this case to free myself by expressing, through the anger, demonstrating it. You may have heard the word emotion expressed as energy in motion. Well, that is what it is, actually acting out the emotion. And I gave it full force. It didn't just mutter under my breath something about, why don't you get out of here? I exploded. How dare you, people? And I called them vile names and I judged them. You saw me as I angrily threw a fit because they were in violation of the law, the Jewish law, and they had really taken their violation to extremes. It was quite barbaric. It was not that I was justified in doing what I did. That wasn't the point. I had simply to give a lesson. The lesson was not that they were wrong, but it was the anger could be transmitted, healed, and transmuted. Jeshua said his anger reached further still. Beyond the issue of money changers, there was also the merchants selling doves for sacrifice. I was annoyed about this custom as well. I had spoken out to the crowds many times saying, these customs are no longer relevant. Only our God requires no sacrifice. Remember the story of Abraham and Isaac? Well, to this day, there remains a misunderstanding. And he thought to clarify that it is true that discipline or self-control, as it is known, such as fasting, forgiveness, or letting go, can seem like a sacrifice, because these things are not easy for the human body, for the personality, or for the ego. But these things are not recommended so that humans feel forced sacrifice. Rather, they are suggested so that the individual can create a shift out of the old ways into new, expanded, God-driven ideas. So these rituals are not of a vibration of sacrifice, but of a new creation. Letting go is absolutely necessary in life. Even in the case of possession of a gift, a blessing of it, and a release is important. The release doesn't have to be a destructive process or a painful letting go, but it becomes painful when one doesn't realize the importance of letting go, when one doesn't know inside themselves the wisdom of such an act. Terry, would you like to comment on anything about this?
Well, I think...
Dr. Terry, go ahead.
Yeah, I feel that it's well stated in my book, and it's very true, and that's exactly what he said to me. And I downloaded this, and he called me a scribe. He said, I said, how do I know all this, and how do I know it's all true? He said, you are my scribe. If anybody has total freedom to be truthful, you are a special one. You are very truthful. So he said, what I said on that step, what you saw with that, that's exactly what happened. Through the money changes, scattered the money all over the steps of the temple. And I also upset the cages of the doves and set them free. He said, I was very angry. That's what they were doing. So I not only emotionally expressed it, but they told me physically expressing it as well. And that's what I meant to do. Exactly that.
Yes.
As you know, it's very true. You saw me do it.
Tell me, Carla, was the sacrificing of the doves in the Bible?
Well, it was a very Old Testament. As Dr. Terry said, it was, or as Jesus said through Dr. Terry, it was way out of date. This was what their forefathers had done to appease an angry God, and Jesus had told them they were free from that now and did not need to worry about that, and they didn't get it. And one of the reasons they didn't get it was that it was not to the benefit of the money changers for them to get anything. They needed them to go ahead and buy those silly doves and, put money in those money changers' pockets as they were doing it. And so the money changers were like, would you please hush? Would you please stop that? And, you know, you're interrupting business. And they just didn't. I think for the most part, they didn't take him seriously. But in that they did take him seriously, they were concerned that he was giving people the wrong idea. That is, he was giving people an idea that would stop putting money in their pockets. And finally, I think Jesus got irritated beyond belief because he had, in fact, removed the necessity for these old customs. There was no need anymore to sacrifice to the angry God.
Was Jesus worshiping a different God than Jews?
No, it wasn't a different God. It was a God made free of the shackles of old belief. Jesus came to give us a new promise, a new way of thinking. He said, it's not necessary to do these things. This is not an actual good thing. This is not proper or not appropriate. And he was, it wasn't that he was against the money changers. It was that his ideas were contrary to the idea that motivated people to sacrifice, that is, fear. Jesus came to substitute love for fear. And when he had done so, to his satisfaction, in thought, he found that people were not getting the drift, which I think drove him to acting out.
Mm-hmm.
Carl, you're absolutely right. And there was another time. Yeshua, because that's what we called him that time. We spoke Aramaic, and that was the language. His uncle was a ship, a shipwright. In other words, he traded all over the world. I know that those days.
So, that was Joseph of Arimathea.
Yeshua was never poor. He had the backing of his uncle. They were very extremely wealthy for those times. And one day they sailed to Mexico and met the Mayans. And one of the things they did there was explain to the Mayans, we're doing human sacrifice. This is not necessary. This is not like by our God. The one God was not loved. So he said, stop that practice. So I was there and I backed him up as I could. And eventually they did stop that, by gosh. And they created a wonderful tribe of Native Americans who eventually went up. It spread the word up in the United States and talked about the white buffalo and everything. So Yeshua said when he left the shores of Mexico, he said, I will return. When he returned, he was in his ascended state. So they called him the winged serpent. There's a history today talking about the winged serpent, who could fly from the above the sky right down into their area. So that's how it got started, because he told them he would be back someday. So,
Dr. Terry, why don't I give either Carla or Alan a chance to ask you a question, if that's okay with you, about anything they want to ask about your perception of this lifetime that you believe you lived, and
yeah, that'd be all right, and I'll do my best.
Okay. Alan, are you there? Hello, Alan. Uh-oh, I think we've lost Alan.
His phone line is...
He's gone?
No, he's here on the phone.
When? I'm here. I'm just about to start a little interview session, but... No, I think it's very interesting what Terry's bringing up, is sort of the human side of Jesus, you know?
Mm-hmm. Before, I know you have an interview. Would you like to ask Terry a question before you leave, and just about anything about Jesus' life?
Yeah, I want to ask Terry just about the ascension of Jesus and what that took inside of him to activate those higher frequencies, what that took in Jesus to reach those frequencies of the resurrection and the ascension. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I heard part of what you said. Could you please repeat that?
Okay, so
a little bit louder.
What did Jesus have to do to raise the frequency of resurrection and ascension? What was that process?
Well, that was a process of living. That was a process of living your life as God, and knowing that everyone is one. We're one person. We're all in this together.
Oh, the picture of Jesus.
And I'll tell you, he said that there were times in his life where it wasn't that vibration for the energy of ascension, but sometimes it only lasted for a few minutes. So he went through that that vibration, high vibration for ascension, but he didn't hold that ascension vibration constantly. It came and went. That was the ascension of the cross. I should say,
I wanted to say that in the sessions that Carla did, in the sessions that Carla did, which she, after she did her Ra channelings, for years, she had an open meeting where people asked questions, and she worked through, I guess, what you would call a lower aspect of Ra. It was still Ra, but it was something that didn't create so much negative attacks on her. And there was a question about that. I don't know if she remembers the answer. It's somewhere in her archives. But I kind of remember they were talking about how Jesus could put on a light, a body of light that looked like a body, and people could see. Do you recall that answer, Carla?
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, it's in there somewhere.
I'm just also getting to the Shroud of Turin was actually a snapshot of the light coming back into Jesus. Is that true?
I don't think it's fair to ask Terry every question.
Yeah,
I should answer that question, but I've got to hear it again because your voice is very soft.
I was just saying the Shroud of Turin. Do you know anything about that as far as the frequency?
Yes, that was a true Shroud of Jesus.
Okay.
Learn eventually how to date that accurately. And they'll find some materials that were around at the time of Jesus' life, like some pollen and so forth. So yes, that is a true thing.
Okay, thank you for that. I appreciate that. Okay, I have to sign off. Wynn and Carla and Adele and Terry, thank you. Thank you for everything.
God bless. Have a good interview.
Okay, thanks. Adele, maybe I'll talk to you later. Okay.
All right. Thank you for being here.
Thanks. And we'll be in touch. Okay.
Carla, anything you want to put out and ask?
I don't really have any questions. I'm a happy camper. What would you like to know, Wynn? Because you're the one who has an enormous number of questions in your pocket. Is there anything you'd like to know?
My job is to think of the questions that other people would think of. They're not asking, you know.
Oh, I'm stepping out of my role here.
Yeah.
Wynn, may I ask you?
Hives has a question. Go ahead, Hives.
You know, Dr. Terry, I would like to ask regarding Mary Magdalene. Can you share some about her, how prominent she was between you folks?
Yeah, she was very prominent, and she pretty much came along with us in many of our travels. She had one difficulty, and that was that her father had died when she was fairly young, and it kind of depended on her to be the family supporter financially and abundantly. So she took a life up, which is not prostitution, but certainly close to that, where she spent time helping various people with her issues. But she was a very, very high person. Of course, she is a twin flame of Yeshua. So her input was very important. And she followed that. She came with us in many of our travels. In fact, she was there at Last Supper.
So I asked, well, where was she? And the answer is that, don't you know, it wasn't at that time in history, it wasn't appropriate for a woman to be out at the dinner table. She was buzzing in the kitchen, and I appreciate her reluctance to put herself in higher energies, but she was there. And, of course, they were married under God, and she finally had a child, Sarah. But he never saw the child when he was alive. She was 7 months pregnant when Yeshua was put on the cross. So, well, he saw her in the other place. He never knew her as a child, physically. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing.
You're welcome.
Dr. Terry, I have a question. You know, we know that Jesus was being supported by Joseph of Arimathea, but when he and the disciples were going around, was there a lot of money to support them? Could they stay traditionally they were living very humbly and staying on the side of the road or in people's homes. So why is it there was not money so they could travel in more luxury? Or how did that work?
We always had everything we needed. Always. When we got into an emergency, Joseph Arimathea was there for us. He had the knowledge that he was part of our support system. He was more than eager to do that. And if he should forget that, his wife would remind him, Joseph, you got a job to do. Do it now. But generally, we did live very humbly. And sometimes we slept in a house at night as we traveled, sometimes alongside the road in our blankets and our warm booties for our feet. And then some nights it got quite cold in Israel. But that's what happened. But we did live humbly, but again, Joseph Arimathea was always there to back us up if we needed extra cash or whatever. We always had our needs. They were always met.
And you were the accountant. You were the one who was responsible for making sure the money didn't run out, correct?
Yeah. Well, I was tax collector. And I was very educated with money, and so I kept the abundance in my pocket. Sometimes I held onto that a little bit too tight. Yeshua would tell me, don't worry, we'll always have our needs about. We'll always have our needs about. So not to worry. But like you, any human, I worried. We have enough for a meal tonight. But we always had our needs. We were always met one way or the other. And sometimes many people travel with. So we're not only responsible for our needs, we were responsible for the needs of people who followed the way with it. Yeah.
Now, you were around and witnessed some of the miracles that happened around
you.
Yes,
I was.
Right?
Yes.
Now, one of the interesting things that I recall reading in the book is that when there was a miracle, historically, we're always told that that Jesus did these miracles. But in fact, there was a group energy. And I remember you were there with the loaves and fishes, and it was indicated that you were a part of the energy that allowed that to occur. Do you want to share anything about this aspect? Am I correct? Do I remember that correctly?
You are correct. I'd lost the opportunity to learn from Jesus and do some of these miracles. But always in the background, or maybe in the foreground, Yeshua would say, not I doing this. It's our one Father. He's the one that's doing this. Our Father in heaven. He's in charge. We're just here as a symbol to the people. But he was actually accomplished all these miracles. In fact, Yeshua said to me, because that was that, you can do all the things I do and more. But in this lifetime, well, I used to heal by my touch. I heal many diseases. This lifetime, I don't do that. My goal in this lifetime is to teach people how to use their healing ability to get the healing that they need for themselves. So just like greeting the fishes, the loaves, I also teach on this lifetime how to heal yourself, how to stimulate your energy and your power. Because that's what Jesus wanted.
Okay, we got a question here that Diane emailed me in Minnesota, and she said, she asked the question, were there any significant female disciples that are not normally spoken about? And could you share something about their roles? Because she says, I think I might have been, she thinks she could have been one.
Yes, quite possibly. Jesus did not feel like the times dictated. He believed that women were equal to men in every word. In fact, in some ways, they were greater than men because they gave birth to life. So, yes, in fact, Mary Magdalene became a healer after Yeshua was crucified. And she went around to places of sickness and healed the people. So she was very much a very talented individual. Even though she had this young wife with Jesus, Sarah, who is, by the way, reincarnated in my area. I know her quite well. She's a very brilliant girl. I should say woman. But indeed, there are many women healers. And Jesus encouraged her behavior.
Hey, did Jesus talk about reincarnation to his disciples?
Yeah. In fact, he told us some of the people that he was in the past life. But he asked me
He asked me not to share this time. He did? Okay. Yeah. All right, that makes sense.
In fact, he used to say, if people ask if I'm the Messiah, tell them, no, I am not.
He said to say, I'm not the Messiah, right?
Yeah. The reason was he didn't want glory and anything to do with his ego. He wanted it to know that he was a man of God, but also a human being. He didn't want to be magnified in any way and have people treating him as a Messiah, although that was his role. And a lot of people did not ever realize that.
Mm-hmm.
I got a question.
Go ahead.
Did Yeshua have a sister?
I can't hear. I don't have any.
Terry asked if Yeshua had a sister.
Yeshua had two sisters and four brothers. Found his wife first, found his virgin birth, but yes, he had two sisters and four brothers. The youngest sister became very discouraged and disappointed with Yeshua's being and left the family for a while. But eventually, she found out the truth. She brought to the family. The other sister worked with the Essenes very closely. They were very much in touch with the Essenes, who predicted the birth of Jesus.
Does that answer your question, Terry?
Yes. There was one person that believed she was the sister of Jesus. And so that's very interesting.
I know what, but I don't know this one. Do not know the other ones. I have not. Yeah. I don't think on a physical plane I've met her yet. But the one sister I have met, she's very close to me. Because after Yeshua died on the cross, I pitched in to help the family because they really needed help at that time to kind of regulate the behavior of the of his brother and sister. So I took that chance to teach them and help them find their way.
Were you there when he died on the cross?
I was at the bottom of the cross.
Were all the disciples there? Were they all there?
Almost all of them were there. Oh, but not two.
Did they expect Jesus to come back and resurrect in the way that he did?
Truly, no, not really. They didn't have the know-how of what was going to happen. They had, remember, even Jesus didn't know the whole story until the last minute. He knew there was some big thing coming, but he didn't understand what exactly. So a lot of them had no idea what he meant. And then he was actually coming back in ascended body. They didn't even understand the ascended body. And so when he was put on the cross, we and then died, we were all very, very sad. We thought that was it.
Terry, what do you think is the most important thing that Jesus would have wished for us to get out of his life?
Well, of course, the key is that we must live a life with God number one in our lives and do it to others. We would like them to do it to us. And recognize, very importantly, recognize that we are all one. We're all brothers and sisters. No matter where we live, what color our skin is, we're all one. But that was a very important aspect of what he said.
Thank you. Michael Ramirez, I don't understand your question well enough to ask it. He asked about the DNA, about the Jesus Shroud and Leonardo da Vinci. If you rephrase that, send it to me. I'll try to ask Dr. Friedman off to the side, but not on the call. It's 6:54. I thought we would take a moment because it's really special that Terry took the time to talk to us tonight. You can hear in his voice that he's in a bit of pain. And I wanted to ask, I wish I could say, boom, here's a miracle. And I'm not good enough to do that. But if I was, I'd ask for it. And right now, maybe all of us together can send the most loving energy to Terry in Phoenix for healing. You know, he has multiple sclerosis, and his body is in a difficult situation, and he broke his ankle, and it's really special that he came on the call tonight and shared with us. So let's take a moment of love. And healing. Carla, would you like to say anything before we... Carla or Terry? Terry Brown, would like to say anything?
I feel honored to be talking to a person who was so close in memory to a man that I have followed all of my life. And I wanted to share with you, Doctor, that when I was a tiny thing, I was much more conscious than most kids my age. And when I was supposed to be napping, my mind was too active and I couldn't nap. But I found myself able, just by experiment, not on purpose, but one day I had put my little glasses on, it was a Venetian blind, and it was catching the sun as it came through the Venetian blinds of the window of my room. And it beamed right into my eye, and I went out on that beam, and I was in a magic place, and Jesus was there. Not particularly tall, not particularly handsome, dirty from the road. Not the way I have ever heard him depicted, you know, or seen him depicted. But this is what I saw. And his eyes were almost golden. And he would look into my eyes. He would hold my hand. He wouldn't speak to me. He would look into my eyes. And I would absolutely know what love was. And it has inspired me my whole life.